Man, what a beautiful song, both of them. It kind of fits right into the message tonight. I really want to be an encouragement to you this evening. Do you have the title of my message up there? You know, when we come through the holidays, there's a lot of people that I think most of the suicides and stuff happen around Christmas and New Year's and stuff like that. And although we're past both of those, but still, when you look at the world and you look at our country and you look at all the things that are going on, it's very easy to be discouraged. And I thought, you know, this might be a good topic because I don't think people understand God's viewpoint on discouragement. I've heard people rip people to shreds for being discouraged. That's sin. That's wickedness. Boy, you're just out of fellowship with God. You just don't understand. Wait a minute. They forgot to read the Bible. So we're going to talk about this matter of discouragement tonight. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. You're going to look at two different places tonight, basically. We're going to read this passage and make some comments, but then we're going to go to another passage, if you want to hold your place there in Samuel, and then go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 42. We'll be there in just a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Follow along as I read. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail is the wife of Nabal the Carmelite, and David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. As you get the picture here, David had been fighting with the Philistines. He'd had several victories over Saul, and then he started fighting with the Philistines and having great victories and doing very well. He'd build his own army, and they come to fight with Israel, fighting with the Philistines. But those that he'd been working with, the Philistines, the other folks, they didn't trust him. So they rejected him and said, we're not going to let him fight with us. You send him home. So the guy, the king that he'd been working with, they sent him on home, said, sorry, but you can't have a part in this dance. So he returns to Ziklag, where they're from, and he gets there and he finds his families, all the families of the armies that he'd been in charge of, and his own family gone. They're captives. They've been taken captive. All their possessions, their homes burnt to the ground. If you would go home tonight and all of our homes were burnt and our children were gone, and our wives were gone. taken captive. Everything we had, just whatever they had on their back when they came back into town, that's all they had. I think I can understand why it says that he was greatly distressed. And on top of all of that, all of the people that were there, his armies that trusted him and understood that he was responsible, they were ready to stone him. They were ready to kill him. So now he's got the stress of all that, and are they going to kill me? And what stress and depression that he must have had. In Psalm chapter 42, how does David deal with this? I know it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I've asked people, what does that mean? And I've got so many different answers, you know, from eating at McDonald's to, you know, whatever. But how did David deal with all this? What is discouragement? What's God think about discouragement? He said in Psalm 45, and actually Psalm 45 and 43, or excuse me, 42 and 43 are the same psalm. That Catholic priest that divided everything up, he took one and he made two out of it. Psalm 43 is actually the second half or the second part of Psalm 42. And that's why you see in verse number 5 and in verse number 11 and chapter 43 and verse number 5 exactly the same thing. David is repeating himself, crying out in the same fashion. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Why am I depressed? Why am I discouraged?" He says, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." I want you to understand what discouragement really is. I'm not even going to ask you if you've ever been discouraged. If you didn't say yes, you're a liar probably, because all of us at some point have been discouraged. I've been discouraged as just a man, as a boy growing up. I've been discouraged as a pastor. I've been discouraged on the mission field. I've been discouraged in retirement. All of this idea of discouragement. There was a fellow driving his car, and he had his GPS on. Any of you ever do that? What did we ever do within maps that we get at AAA and stuff? Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. And he's listening to that GPS, and he's going along here, and the GPS says, "Turn here." So he turns there, and all of a sudden he starts losing connection. And it's sputtering and coming, and it recomputing. And it comes back on. And he says, "Turn here." So he turns here. And he loses connection again with the internet or the satellite or whatever. And it comes back, and it says, "Turn here." So he turns here. After four times of this thing saying, "Turn here," and he's turning and lose connection, he finds himself out in the middle of the field, and this GPS goes quiet. And all of a sudden, the GPS comes back and says, "Just go ahead and do whatever you want." That sounds foolish. I've done that. Going to a church on deputation. We're following that thing up around through Chicago and different places, and all of a sudden it puts us out in the middle of a field. Remember that? There ain't no church around. There ain't no houses, nothing. We finally found it way down the road, but it was there. That's how discouragement feels. It's like that voice that's inside of you, that's been giving you directions and saying to turn here and telling you to turn there, but all of a sudden, it goes quiet. And it's like you're out in the middle of the field and you don't know where you're at and you don't know where to go. And you just feel alone. And you're despondent. You're discouraged. What am I going to do? And that's kind of how discouragement does. We don't just stop. We keep moving. We try to find out where we're going, but we really don't know if taking that next step is even worth it. If taking that next step is going to help or it's going to hurt, and we stay kind of in that lost out in the field discouragement and not knowing what to do. Discouragement is not loud. Discouragement's not loud. It doesn't shout, "Be discouraged. Boy, get down on yourself." No, no, no. It's just like when God spoke in a still small voice. Discouragement speaks very softly and whispers in your ear, "It ain't gonna work. What do you think you're doing?" Sometimes it says, "Well, why bother?" You're discouraged and you say, "Well, nobody cares." You're despondent and you say, "Well, God's not listening. I've been praying. He's not answered my prayer at all. Nobody appreciates what I'm doing. I've been working so hard, and for what?" And you stay in that discouraged position. Have no friends. Nobody really cares. So what's the use? Everything I do seems to fail. I can't get ahead. Am I ringing your bell? We've been there, all of us. Why did I put all these things down? Because I've been in every one of them. And discouragement, it's real. But thank God the Lord is not like a GPS. He never recomputes, never has to. He never drops us out in the middle of a field and says, "Well, you're on your own, take her from here." He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Discouragement is real. Discouragement does not just come on somebody that's out of the will of God. It doesn't just come on somebody that's weak in their Christian faith. I've had so many people say, "Hey, you must be a horrible Christian if you're discouraged." Discouragement often comes when you've had a great victory in your life, when things are going really good. And you've had maybe a vacation Bible school and we've had 20 people saved and boy, everything just went great and boy, hallelujah. And that next day, you feel like you've been drugged through a ringer. Most preachers retire every Monday. You think I'm kidding you. Have a great Sunday, a great week, and people are saved, and boy, great expectations and everything, and Monday comes, and it just seems like the devil just slams you with everything. And you sit in your office or in your car. Say, what's the use? Nobody's listening. I'm not getting anywhere. And discouragement, deep discouragement, sets in. Sickness, physical problems. You see, the devil likes to hit people when they're down. He's a coward. When you're sick, you just don't feel well, and you'll find out that that's when the devil plays with your mind. When you're ill and you're not thinking right to start with, you don't want to talk to anybody, you just want to get better, and you just want to turn over and go to sleep and just leave me alone type thing. And that despondency, that discouragement sets in. The devil attacks us when we are weak. Many times, it's after whenever we've had a great, great day. We've been out in the village and we might have had 30 people. I remember when we was out there at the pygmy village and we had 30 pygmies come to Jesus Christ that day. And boy, you talk about on top of the world. And the next day you could have scraped me off the floor. Victory. You, as a pastor, when you have great victories, you almost stand back and say, what's coming now? What's the devil going to do now? And it's good because you know you're accomplishing something, but you're waiting for it. You're waiting for him to hit you. Because he will. And he does. Many faithful servants of God experience discouragement. This is not because they were in sin. This is not because they were out of the will of God. And I think so many times we put that, or people put that on Christian and said, if you're discouraged, you're not right with God. I had one preacher say that if you're afraid, you ought to quit. God's not in this. David said he was afraid. Paul said, I'm afraid, I fear we're going to die. We need to get in and see what God said. I want you to watch this, what God does with this in discouragement factor. Think Moses. Moses here is overwhelmed by the leadership responsibilities. He has just, now understand, you have 3.5 million people that you have just led out of the bondage. You've brought them through the Red Sea. You're over on the other side, and now they're down there worshiping a calf. And you're trying to lead them, but they're not leading so hot. You're trying to lead your family, and they're just not following the way you think they ought to follow. Now, listen about Moses, overwhelmed by leadership and the people constantly complaining. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 14, this is what Moses asked God. Moses asked God why he must bear the burden alone. And even Moses asks to die. He says, I am not able to bear all this people alone. Moses felt discouraged. He felt alone, but God was not done with him. Moses felt like he was doing it all by himself. And he forgot that God was right there with him. When you're discouraged, you just have that lonely feeling, that feeling that you're the only one. And that God has forsaken you. He's not hearing your prayers. He's not answering. He's not, God, I'm crying out. I'm not hearing nothing. That's the way Moses was. And he asked God to kill him. Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah just called down fire from heaven. He stood up against 450 prophets of Baal. He'd seen revival. He'd seen repentance. He'd seen the fire come down and consume everything, even the rocks. And then he walked out and destroyed every one of those prophets of Baal. And he walks away. He witnessed the great power of God, and then one little old woman threatens him. Says, tomorrow by this time, I'm going to have your head on a stick. And what's Elijah do? He'd just been there 450 and killed all of them. Moses takes off running through the desert. He goes up there and he hides under a juniper tree and sits there and prays that God would kill him. This is what he says. It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life. The same man that just prayed and asked God to bring fire down from heaven, and now he's totally defeated, totally discouraged, totally despondent enough that he would say, God, kill me. Just like Moses. Now you tell me these guys are not men of God? Discouragement made Elijah feel alone, but he wasn't. And God had to remind him, I've got 7,000 other prophets that have not bowed their knee to Baal. And God continued to use him. God was still there, even though he was discouraged. God was still there and still wanted to use him after he was discouraged and despondent. Take David, his personal distress. We just read about this. The betrayal that he experienced, the loss of everything. And this is what he says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. But in Psalm 42:5, David speaks, he starts talking to himself. Any of y'all ever talk to yourself? You're not crazy when you do that. I suggest you do that once in a while. I'm serious. That's exactly what David did. It says, David spoke to his own soul. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Even when you're discouraged, David still has direction and the presence of Almighty God. Even though he's not hearing from God, even though he's not getting the answers, yet he speaks to himself. You know, you ever watch these athletes? They get out there and boy, they'll do something and they'll hit themselves on the chest. I'd do it, but I'd crush the mic. Boy, I ain't beating on their chest and everything. You know what they're doing? They're keeping themselves pumped up. They're convincing themselves that they're good so that they can go to the next play and knock a fire out of somebody else. So that they can get that ball and they can make that next shot. You know what we do when we get discouraged, when things don't go right? We just stay there. David talked to himself. He's speaking to his own soul. He's convincing himself of something. Don't look at the problems and stuff. Start talking to yourself and let people think you're crazy. Anymore, when I grew up, somebody's talking to themselves, they was nuts. Nowadays, you have people with things in their ears all the time and they're talking, just going down the street. You don't know who's crazy and who's not. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? David still was getting direction from God. As God then answers him and said, David, get up off your face and get after it. Go do the work that I've told you to do. He still had that direction. God was still there. God is still guiding, even when you're discouraged. How about Job? You talk about intense suffering. And Job didn't have a lot of answers to what he was asking for. But listen to Job in Job chapter 6 and verse number 8. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Do you think he was a little discouraged? He'd lost his family. He'd lost his wealth. He'd lost everything. How many of these guys so far has gotten so despondent, so discouraged that they were ready to die? And serious about it. Don't ever think that a Christian can't commit suicide or that they're just so ungodly and everything. Anybody, when they get despondent, when they get discouraged, can get to that point that they would take their own life. You've got godly men here, and every one of them got to that point. He said, why? Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? You ever ask that? I have. God, why did you even let me live? God, why? I'd have been better off dead. I don't mean nothing to nobody. I'm just a misfit. Job felt alone. Job felt worthless. But thank God, God wasn't done with him. And as Job continued to trust the Lord, God restored and multiplied everything that he'd lost. How about Jeremiah? Boy, he was rejected, thrown in a dungeon with mire and filth and waste up to his midsection. Rejected, lonely, persecuted for his faith. Listen to what he says. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. God, it's too much. There's nothing that's going right. I have not succeeded. It's not turning out like I thought it should. And yet God continued to use him and used him mightily. Ladies, how about Hannah? Barren, could not have a child. Nothing she could do. Now she's mocked. Now she's abused by the other ladies and going through life this way, continual provocation by these others. It says in 1 Samuel 1, 6 to 8, it says, "Why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Why are you so discouraged? Why are you down? Why are you despondent?" Hannah was so discouraged. So much so that as she's praying, Eli thinks she's drunk. She thought she was alone, persecuted, mocked. Yet God was still working. God was still there. God was still listening. And God gave her the great prophet Samuel. And other children as well, and used her in a great way. Even though she had been so despondent and crying out to God. How about John the Baptist? One of my favorite. Doubting everything he believed. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And he comes to this point, he's in jail, and he's so discouraged, he's so despondent in jail that he sends some guys to go talk to Jesus. And he said, "Art thou he that should come? Or should we look for another?" He's going through this stuff in his mind and said, maybe he's not the one. Things aren't going the way I thought they were supposed to go. I mean, they're against him and nobody, all these people aren't turning to the Lord like they're supposed to. And man, I'm about ready to die. And I'm not sure if my life has been wasted. I'm not sure if all the things that I have been preaching were really right. Yes, I said, "Behold the Lamb of God," but sitting here in this jail cell with my head about ready to fall. Was that real? And the great John the Baptist gets so discouraged that he sends them runners and said, "Art thou the one, or do we look for another?" I've been there. Doubting everything that I had ever believed, everything that I'd ever preached. And wondered, is all this a game? Is this just something we've made up? These are not men in sin. They're not out of the will of God. They're discouraged. They're depressed. It come on every one of them. And there's more examples. I just don't have time to go through it all. Discouragement tells you it's over. But God says, "I'm not finished." He went ahead and used every one of them in a great way. Discouragement's not a sign that God has left you. It's a sign that you're human. And you're tired or you're sick and you need to turn to God. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. We talk about that for salvation. It has nothing to do with salvation. The principle is true. But if you read the whole context of that verse, in verse 4, he talks about fear. In verse 6, he talks about trouble. In verse 7, he talks about fear. In verse 17, he talks about troubles again. That's in Psalm 34. And in verse number 18, he says, the Lord is nigh them. God has not left you when you're discouraged. God is still there, just like he was with every one of those. He says, God is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such physically, emotionally, spiritually, such as be of a contrite heart. Notice what God did not do. Listen to this. What God did not do, he did not take Elijah and rebuke him for being discouraged. He did not take Moses and rebuke him for being discouraged, or David for being discouraged. He didn't rebuke them. He didn't lecture them. He spoke to them in a still, small voice. And he sent them on to do the work that God had called them to do. Get up and go. Do what I say. So how do we deal with discouragement? I've got a couple minutes to run through about 7 weeks of teaching, okay? So fasten your belt. Dealing with discouragement. How do we deal with discouragement? We go back to Psalm 42 and verse number 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Speak to your soul. Talk to yourself. Convince yourself. Don't look at the situation. Find out why you're there. Not your feelings, your soul. David counseled his own soul. It's self-examination. Why am I here? Why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? What has happened? Talk to yourself. Beat yourself on the chest and say, look, God's done this before. We can do it again. I'm not just following a fable. Really, why am I down? No self-pity. I'm going to get up. Well, they did this. It don't make any difference what they did. Well, he said, don't make any difference. None of that has any play. What's the real problem? The real problem is you're not focusing on God. You're focusing on that one woman that threatened you. You're focusing on the paperwork for leadership. You're focusing on the impossible. And God is the God of the impossible, and he opened Hannah's womb. The second thing, he says, hope thou in God. Don't look at the circumstances, but look at the hope we have in God. Challenge your soul and emotions with hope. Where do you find hope? In the Word of God. One of the first things when people are discouraged, they just kind of put the book aside. No, that's the first place you need to go. Get in the book and find hope. What does God say? What does God promise? You ought to find 3 or 4 promises, not 10 or 12, 3 or 4. You'll forget them. There'd be too many. You just get 3 or 4 promises of God's word, and you hone in on that, and you memorize those verses, and you claim those verses, and you live those verses, and you trust God with those verses. He said, hope thou in God. It's not your problem. It has nothing to do with your problem. You need to connect with who he is. With God, what he's done, and why he can do it. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. There is nothing my God cannot do. Amen. To do that, you're going to have to get in his word. You're going to have to find these promises. You should saturate yourself with the Word of God. I don't care if it don't seem like it's making any sense. You let the Holy Spirit worry about that. You get in and you saturate yourself with as much of the Word of God as you can. Read the Psalms, read the Proverbs, read Philippians, read Matthew. And once you get done, do it again. Saturate your heart, your mind with the Word of God. See what God has done. And that will give you that hope. Go back. Whenever I get despondent, I go back to the crucifixion. And I read all about the crucifixion again. And I see what he did for me. If he did that for me, this little problem, whatever it is, he can handle that. And he has a purpose in my life. And I can do whatever he said. And then the fourth thing, I shall yet praise him. When you praise him, you are praying. You are communicating with him. Pray, pray, pray. You say, I don't think he's listening. He's listening. When these people are praying and they think, well, he's not hearing. Job, I don't think he's listening. He doesn't respond. I'm not hearing anything. I'm not getting anything. You pray anyway because he's there and he's listening. How do I know that? He promised. No, he may not answer you today. No, he may not answer you tomorrow. But when the time is right, he will. You have God's word on that. You have hope. Even though we don't think it'll make a difference, even though we don't think we're getting through or that he's even listening, he is. He's there. Every one of those illustrations of those people in the Bible, they thought they were alone, but God was right there. He'd never left. Praise him for those promises you've written down. Thank him for being there, even though, like Job, you don't see him or feel him. Psalm 48 or 42 and verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Pray. You're discouraged. Pray. I don't think I'm getting through. Pray anyway. Number 5. I shall yet praise him. Praise. That requires me to look into his book. And as I see the things that he did, go back and read how they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, and then God destroys the entire Egyptian army, and that's recorded in history, not just in the book. God did exactly what he said. And you praise him. Praise him for the power. That builds a heart of gratitude and gets you away from your little problem or whatever the difficulty is. You praise him for his wonderful works. You praise him for his goodness. You praise him for his mercy. You praise him for his grace. You just keep on going. Just go around the room and thank him for windows that keeps the cold out, and thank him for insulation, and thank him for a carpet or wood or whatever you got in your home. Thank him for a bathroom inside. Amen? We take everything for granted. We didn't have all that over in Africa. Most of the world don't have what you got. And as you're doing all this, you begin to wonder, what do I have to be discouraged about? Number 6. In verse number 4 in Psalm 42, in verse 4, David goes to the house of the Lord with the other believers. Stay faithful in church. Stay faithful in church. You need to be taught the Word of God. You need the encouragement from the Word of God, from the pastor, from the preacher, whoever it is, from the Sunday school teacher, I don't care, from listening to the kids quote their verses. You will receive encouragement, the fellowship of other believers. They're going through problems too. And if you just give a word of encouragement to them and get your eyes off of yourself and your problem and start trying to encourage other people, it gets me so upset. I watch people come into the church, and the first thing they do is go in and sit down, well, come and bless me, because I ain't coming to bless you. Shame on you. Look, it's not all about you. You're here to be a blessing to other people. You know what? You might just shock the fire out of people and go and say, hey, Brother Moses, how you doing? And he, man, never done that before. Be a blessing to other people. Be grateful for other people. Be in the house of God. Enjoy the fellowship. Get involved in everything you can. I'll start getting you out of that discouragement. You're not looking at all the problem that you've got. You're starting to see everything else. I'd love to give you several illustrations. I don't have time. And what's the results? In that same passage in Psalm 42, if we don't yield to our emotions and we start trusting him, he'll make our countenance cheerful. That's what he says. He'll make our countenance cheerful. He'll put a smile on our face. He'll fill my heart with joy. He'll give me the confidence to go on, realizing I have no reason for discouragement. I have been blessed so much. I have such a wonderful, great God. I have no reason to be discouraged. Why? Because my God loves me. When we're witnessing to Muslim, we ask them, what does Allah say about transgressors? In the Quran, it says he hates transgressors. I said, are you a transgressor? Well, yeah. I said, your God hates you. That's what your Bible, that's what your Quran says, right? Well, yeah. I says, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves me, for God so loved the world. Our God loves sinners. Do you realize how much God loves you? And when you realize how much God loves you, our little old problems, we don't need to be discouraged. We can be encouraged. Now, discouragement, pain, and frustration does not cancel God's plan for your life. Just because you've been discouraged, you can get over it, and God still wants to use you. You're not such a bad Christian and such a horrible person that you go on feeling guilty. No, get over it and get back after it. David, get up off your face and let's go get them folks back. Let's do what we're supposed to do. God does not always remove discouragement immediately. He doesn't remove it immediately. But he renews our strength while we are waiting. How do I know that? Because he says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We're not going to quit. We're going to keep on going. Waiting's not a waste of time. It's the preparation for what God has in store for us. And God wants to use us in a great way. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's not just for salvation. That's because we've got a wonderful God. And I'll close with this. When you're discouraged, think. Say, what am I supposed to think? Why is Satan fighting me so hard? And this is why. Because God is wanting to use you. And he's going to use you if you'll not look at the problem, if you'll start looking to him, because every one of these examples in the scripture, even though they were discouraged and despondent, even to the point of taking their own life, God turned them around and God used every one of them in a mighty way. Satan don't fight those that are not doing anything. He fights those that God's wanting to use and trying to accomplish something. And if he can get you to slow down and get you to stop, get you to complain, get you to bellyache, just get down in the mouth and just stay there, then he's won the victory. But if you get your eyes off your problem and get them back on Jesus, and you pray, and you get in the Word of God, and you stay in church, and you start trying to encourage other people, I'm telling you what, you'll get out of that depression. You'll get out of that discouragement. I want to encourage you. You're not a bad Christian if you've been discouraged. And God wants to use you, and he will, if you'll let him. Father in heaven, Lord, you're such a wonderful God, so merciful, so good to each one of us. Lord, and all of us get discouraged. We get our eyes off you and onto ourselves and our problems. And Lord, help us to get our eyes back on you. Lord, that we will look for that hope in the Word of God. And as we come to you and pray and praise, and Lord, get up off our face and go after it. You said you'd use us, and you want to use us. Now, God, help us in this world, in this life, to be used by Jesus Christ for his glory. In his name we pray. Amen.